Heavenly Father, I know it's true. I see the evidence of your goodness. And I see great evidence of your goodness in the church. I hear your apostle teach us that we are the body of Christ. And that the most important things Christ is going to do in the world in our lifetime, he's going to do through the church. And I pray that you would change our mind. I pray that you would help us to feel freshly the true value of the church, and that we might function like the body of Christ. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Turns out our bodies are very, very remarkable, and we just kind of take them for granted. Our bodies are made up of different systems. So maybe you can remember biology class from 10th grade. You have a circulatory system, right? You have a digestive system. We have a nervous system. And some nervous systems are more nervous than others. But we're one body, but we have all these systems, and they all function together so that we can live pretty interesting lives. We don't just have systems. Every system has organs. So your circulatory system has a heart. And it's the pump that keeps everything circulating. Well, if you look closely at your heart, it's not just one thing. It's got valves and ventricles, and it's made up of parts. And then we can go one level lower, and in all of our systems, there are cells. So red blood cells are important to the circulatory system. They go through your lungs. You take a big, deep breath. Those red blood cells rust. You're more rusty than you think. And then they go to various parts of your body. They release the oxygen into the cells, and all of this stuff happens without us even thinking about it. Believe it or not, I slept all night. I didn't tell my heart to beat one time, and it just did its job. The circulatory just circled. The human body is remarkable. And the Bible uses the human body to say what the church should be. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, "You are the body of Christ." He said, if you want to understand what the church is supposed to be and what it is when it's at its best, you are the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. Then he goes on to explain what he means by that. I believe if we understood the church better, we would be connected to the church better, and God's work would be accomplished in remarkable ways. After 40 years of pastoring this church, I know it's easy to take church for granted. Just like it's easy to take your body for granted. But I want to remind you, when things get unhealthy, it takes a while to get them healthy again, right? And if we really want to be a church, we got to strive to be healthy. So Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. This is what he's saying. If you want to understand the church, you have to think about it like a body. Remember I introduced you to Bannerman. He wrote a two-volume set on the church. Bannerman says, the church is the profession of the true faith, is that which is the essence of the visible church, distinguishing it from all other societies. What does he mean? Here's what he's saying. What makes the church different from every other organization out there? How is the church different than your country club? How is the church different from the Eagles, Moose, Bears, and all these other clubs? How is it different? Here's what he says. The church is different from every other society because it is composed of people who profess a true faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, because you come to church doesn't make you part of the church. I've known people who came here almost every Sunday, and they said to me, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they came to church. You're not in the church because you come to church. You're in the church when you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right? And we come together as a body, and because we are the body of Christ, Christ does his most important work in the world through the church. I know you think Washington is important. I know you think The Hague and the World Court is important. Okay, God doesn't do his greatest work in Washington. I'm not even sure if he's comfortable there. Somebody else may be doing their best work in Washington, who is not a very good friend of the church. Okay, we have this myth that the important organizations, they're somehow or another, they're political or whatever. But the truth is, the most important organization in the world is the church. And the reason we are the most important is we are the body of Christ. Our bodies function as so we can do what we do. You know how Christ functions on the earth? Through the church. Today, the head of the church is seated in glory and majesty in heaven. But we are his living body on the earth. And if people are going to come to know Christ, it's going to be through the body of Christ. If people are going to feel loved by Christ, it's going to be through the body of Christ. If people are going to be cared for, it's going to be through the body of Christ. Christ is doing the most important stuff he's doing in the world, and he's doing it through the church. So I want to ask you, do you really feel, being honest with yourself, the church is the most important organization in the world? Or do you still have a sense that the church is a pretty nice religious club, but that's about it? Can you hear me? Because many Christians, they don't really believe the church is the most important organization in the world. They say it, but if you look at the way they live, it's just a nice hobby. Okay, being the body of Christ isn't a nice hobby. It is God's plan to influence the world in every generation. Church? You say, well, Doc, I'm not sure. What am I supposed to do at church? All right. It turns out your liver makes a really good liver, but it makes a bad heart. You can't replace the liver with the heart, right? Turns out your fingers make pretty good fingers, but they're not so hot as toes. The body of Christ is like a human body. It has a variety of systems. It has a variety of organizations. It has a variety of cells. And each one does what it was designed to do. The church is the same way. When the church is healthy, each one of us make a healthy contribution. And we do what we are best designed by God to do. I mean, it's a big joke that the place would be empty if I was singing this morning. But sadly, it's true. That's the liver trying to be a heart. Sure, I'd like to be Bruce Springsteen strumming on the guitar, singing a few tunes to the church. But that's not where I fit in the body, right? Each one of us are designed by God, and for the church to be healthy, we make a healthy contribution from what is best about who we are. All right. For the body to be healthy, the members have to be healthy. Just because you have a headache doesn't mean your foot hurts, right? You can have a headache and your foot feel fine. Or you can have gout and not have a headache. The one doesn't make the whole body the same way. All right, listen. The same thing is true in the church. People turn out to be healthy members of the church, or they turn out to be unhealthy members. There are some people who are a headache to the church year after year after year. Oh, it's always a different reason, but they're always unhappy about something. They're always complaining about something. They're always finger pointing at someone. They're unhealthy. And if they're not careful, they infect the body. Church. Look, I'm an antibiotic. You start trashing people in this church, you're going to get a little medicine from me. I love this church. I'm not letting that kind of infection spread. And I hope you'll join me in that. Nothing good happens when somebody who is unhealthy begins to infect other people around them. But I want to tell you, there are some awesomely healthy people in this church. They may not be on this platform every week, but I tell you what, they're healthy. They make everything healthy around them. There is the grace of God on their lives. And the only reason we are a great church is because these healthy people bring the health of Christ with them week after week after week after week. And I love you and thank you for doing it. So the body functions together. Because part of the body may not be healthy doesn't mean the whole body is not healthy. But the more of the body that is healthier, the stronger the church is and the more we can accomplish with Jesus Christ. Doesn't that make sense? So then Paul says, we are united together by the same Holy Spirit. We are all baptized into the church. Next week, we're going to have a baptism. And in baptism, people say, I have died to my old life, and I'm living a new life with Jesus Christ. And my new life with Christ is directly connected to the church. All right, I want to tell you this again. There is no such thing as a healthy Christian life that is disconnected from the church. When you were baptized, you were baptized into the church. That's where you're most healthy. That's where the life of God is most vibrant. Then he says, we all drink from the same cup. This is a symbol of the Lord's Supper. Once every month, we take the Lord's Supper. And in the Lord's Supper, this is what we say: I am remembering that you died on the cross to forgive my sin and make me part of your church. That's what I'm remembering. Every time I take the Lord's Supper, I'm saying, I'm still in the body of Christ. I'm still living under the head of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say to some of you who haven't taken the Lord's Supper for a long, long time, what's wrong? What is it that's happening in your life that the Lord's Supper has lost its meaning and its seriousness to you? Well, you say, Doc, it's just not at a convenient time. It wasn't very convenient for our Lord that night when he gave us the supper. Where did you get it in your head that the Lord's Supper was supposed to fit neatly into your life? In fact, it's supposed to be a disruptor of your life. Once a month, we're supposed to say, Dear God, I'm sorry I haven't gotten this right this month, but I love you, and I'm still trusting Christ, and I still want to be obedient to Christ. And we recommit ourselves in the Lord's Supper. And I want some of you to rethink the place of the Lord's Supper in your life. I want you to accept that interrupting a Saturday night once a month to re-identify with Christ and his church is worth everything you have to give up to do it. Church. And just by the way, it is called the Lord's Supper. It's not called the Lord's breakfast, the Lord's brunch, the Lord's snack time. It's called the Lord's Supper. Just reminding you. The body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. Paul has a sense of humor. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? I'm sorry, I have a twisted imagination. I can just see eyeballs bouncing around in the world. What was that scary movie when we were kids? Twilight Zones. Too many Twilight Zones. All right, listen to what Paul says. The foot can't exclude itself because it's not the hand. What is he meaning? No one in the church can say, okay, I'm not like the hand, so I'm not part of the church. What's he mean? Okay, we look at each other, and everyone here has gifts and specialties. And look, some people in this church are more gifted than others. It's just life, right? Some people are more gifted in some ways than others. We're all gifted in some way, but some people are just, they got the whole bucket full, and the rest of us, we got the shot. Okay, listen. You can't compare yourself to other Christians and say, I belong or I don't belong. We have different purposes. We have different abilities. We have different callings. You don't decide whether you belong by comparing yourself to someone. If I had to compare myself to Billy Graham, I'd have quit a long time ago, right? But Billy Graham was the Billy Graham. All right. The ear can't say, I'm not part of the body because I'm not the eye. I can make this a little plainer. No one ever said, yeah, I looked into her ear and I knew I was immediate in love. If they did, they're a little weird. But people have said, I looked into her eye and I knew I was in love. Huh? So, the eye gets the love poem. And whatever attention the ear gets is usually not good. All right. In the church, there's going to be people who just get more attention than other people. But that doesn't mean they're any more important to the church than the person who serves faithfully and gets no attention. There are people who come here and volunteer. They never get clapped for. No, nobody ever sees what they do. We see the results of it, and we're a great church because they're willing to be a part of the body of Christ in that way. You see? We can't compare ourselves to each other and say, I don't belong because I can't do this or I can't do that. Now I want to ask you, how are you functioning in the body? Have you decided that you're just going to hang out here? Or is something in your heart saying, I should be making a contribution to the body of Christ? There's something I should be doing. I got to stop make excuses for myself that because I'm not that, I'm not part of the body. Do you hear this? And I got to start saying, God has a place for everyone. And even though I may be an ear and not an eye, I'm going to be a darn good ear. I'm going to be a reliable ear. I'm going to be, God can count on me. Do you see? I wonder how people would perceive the church differently if we really, really, really acted like a body. And we all really did our very best part. And we all brought the health of God to the place. I wonder how people would change their mind about the church. Then Paul said, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Now, some of you were daydreaming when I read that. I want everybody's attention. I want everybody to hear this verse. You're allowed to daydream. I would daydream too. I mean, we can be honest, right? But I'm reeling you back in here for a minute. Listen. God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. This means you didn't wander into this church. You didn't show up here by happenstance. The head of the church said, I know you. I know your giftedness. I know your the needs of your heart, and I'm placing you in that church. I'm picking you personally, and I'm personally putting you there. I mean, it is the action verb to put. God puts us in the church. Do you have a sense that if God picked you and put you in this church, you have some responsibility to him? Do you have any sense of that? Listen. Let me change the metaphor. The captain of the team picked you. He not only picked you, he said, I've got the perfect place on my team for you to play. And he said, if you play your heart out, I'm going to coach you up. I'm going to make you better. You're going to get better and better. You're going to be a more and more awesome person. We're going to play better and better as a team, and we're going to win some things that no one ever predicted we could win. That's what the coach says. Now I'm saying to you, do you have any sense of responsibility to Christ because he said, I pick you. I pick you. I want you to play on this team. If you play on this team and this team plays its heart out, we're going to accomplish things that people will say, God is truly great. But you know what else is true? The opposite. You can't have more players on the bench than you have on the field. Church. You can have some healthy, unhealthy parts of your body, but if more of your body is unhealthy than is unhealthy, you're in trouble. You get it? Well, the same thing happens to churches. Healthy churches thrive. They accomplish things. God is honored. People are surprised at the goodness of God. And unhealthy churches, they end up doing a lot of sitting. They're just too unhealthy to do anything else. Do you hear it? God placed us here. We have to bring our healthy self. We have to contribute. We have to be what God wants us to be if the body is going to thrive. The second thing he said is, he picked you and he placed you, each one of you, as he wished. The place God wants you to play is an expression of his great desire for you. You hear it? God said, I have real desires for your life. I want you to know what it feels like to win with me. I want your Christian life to have some real triumphs in it. I want the church to know what it feels like to win with me. This church knows what it feels like to win with God. We have had some incredible wins. When Christ picks me, and then he says, I've got the perfect spot for you, and then he says, I'm going to coach this team in the kind of way that you have some remarkable wins that will make your life very interesting, we ought to feel incredibly honored to be picked by the coach to play on his team. Church. The church is not just another club where you hang around. We are hand-picked people. Christ chose us. He has great wishes for us. He's put us in perfect places that we can serve each other. We can serve him, and the church can win big. And that ought to create some inspiration and thanksgiving in our heart. I tell you, I am grateful to God that I get to be part of this church. I'm honored that he picked me. Somewhere in my soul, I say to him, thank you. Please help me to do better. I want to be worthy of playing on your team. Church, do you feel that kind of call of Christ from the church? Bannerman, in his book on the church, says there's an important distinction between what is necessary to the being of the church and what is necessary to the well-being of the church. Do you hear it? It's one thing to be a church, it's another thing to be a healthy church. It's a one thing to do what churches do, it's another thing to accomplish what only healthy churches can accomplish. Church, we don't judge our success or failure by did we do church 52 times a year. You can't judge success or failure by that. That's like saying, I succeeded this week. I ate breakfast, lunch, and supper every day. That doesn't mean you succeeded. There's a lot of losers out there who ate breakfast, supper, and lunch every week, every day. Huh? I'm not succeeding because I simply do the routine. The church is succeeding when it's healthy and it makes each other healthy. The church is succeeding when we accomplish our mission. And now I want to ask you, do you have any sense where Christ is placing you? Do you have any sense what Christ wants out of your life? Do you have any sense how you can serve other people? Do you feel any longing to be part of this incredible thing God does, and he only does in the church? Church, can you hear me? Do you feel a calling to be part of something that has eternal value? Some of you need to let go of some things in your life so you can take a hold of what's really important. Do you hear me? Some of the things you've said are so important, they don't have the value that the church has. They're not going to make you the person the church will make you. They're not going to give your life meaning that the church will give you. Do you hear me? You got to reconsider that the church is the place that God puts individual people just like you so that we can collectively do our mission and we can live incredible lives that couldn't be lived otherwise. And then Paul says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. He says, the foot can't say, I'm not the hand, I'm out. Then he says, the eye can't say to the ear, I'm not the eye, you're not the eye, you're out. Okay, I said that poorly. Give me another chance at it, please. All right. The foot can't say, I'm not the hand, I'm out. Then he says it just the opposite. The eye can't say to the ear, you're not the eye, you're out. Because all the parts are indispensable. Listen, and the weaker parts, because Christ is such an incredible leader, he goes out of his way to pay attention to. Listen to what he says. The parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we'd bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Do you see yourself as a necessary member? Or have you said, I'm probably too weak. I'm probably not good enough. It probably won't work out well. And you've told yourself things that make you feel like it's all right not to be an active part. Listen to what I want to say. If you think you're weak, the head knows how to compensate for your weakness, and he still says you're indispensable. if you say, "Yeah, Doc, you don't know some bad things I've done. I'm not worthy of it." Ah, my great Lord says, what you feel dishonorable about, He will cover over and He will make you honorable. Do you hear this? You know how Christ covers over what is dishonorable in His life, in our life, with honorable service. He clothes you with honorable service. I've known people who lived bad lives. I mean bad lives. If you met those people today and you saw the way they love and serve Christ, you would never guess the kind of person they were. You know why? What was dishonorable about them was clothed with honor. The Lord gave them the opportunity to serve, and He clothed their dishonorable life with honorable service. Church, some of you have to admit that you. Some of you have to admit that you. You've got things in your life that haunt you. But Christ says, "I'll clothe them. And what was dishonorable, I'll clothe with more honor." And the clothing of honor is the clothing of service. You serve, and what is dishonorable will be made honorable. And then He says, we must be diligent to be united and care for each other. The body of Christ is supposed to care for each other. Now please listen to this. Would you please open your heart to this? Everywhere Jesus went, He took care of people. The Gospels, do you read it? People didn't go away from Christ needy. He took care of them. In a variety of ways, He took care of them. In miraculous ways, He took care of them. That's what Christ did when He walked among us on the earth. And that's what He wants to continue to do through the church today. Do you get it? There are people in this church that we need to take care of. I'm very, very honored. You gave very generously. There are people in this church who would not have had Thanksgiving, but you went and bought the cards, and now they're going to have a full Thanksgiving dinner. That deserves a... There are people who are suspicious whether the church is real or not. We didn't vet them. We fed them. Whether you believe in the church or not wasn't a criteria to get Thanksgiving dinner from us. Do you hear that? Because we're supposed to take care of people. That's what Jesus said. Do you get it? All right, now I want you to know there are people today who came in here with burdens. Burdens. Their life is hard. You don't imagine the struggles they have. And so they may not have come in here perfectly. They may have come in here with a little edge on them. Okay, we have to care for them. Do you hear that? Look, happy, cheerful people, they can get help everywhere. Go to a bar and tell a few good jokes, somebody will buy you a beer. If you go to the right bar, I guess. Cheers, right? Look, the church is a place where we care for each other, even when the person we're caring for may not appreciate it. Do you hear it? You know why? Because the body takes care of itself. The body doesn't say to a sick part, "Hey, you're sick, you're out. When you get healthy, come back. Hey, spleen, You're too sick to be around us. You're out. When you get to feeling better, we'll take you back. It's not the way the body works. The healthy part of the body serves the unhealthy part of the body. Do you get it? We have to care for each other. We have to care for each other in meaningful ways. Here's an example. Last week, a lady in this church, she handed me a card. It was a thank you note. And she had folded up a Bible devotional about pastors. And how a pastor's life is like a burning candle. And some candles burn faster than others, but eventually every candle burns out. But it's the light you gave while... It was a very encouraging little note. She copied it out of a devotional book. Okay. That lifted my spirit that day. I was struggling with some other things, and without that lady knowing, the note she gave me was exactly what I needed to hear that day. See, we serve each other. Who knows who might need an encouragement from you? Who knows who might need a phone call that just says, "Are you okay? Is everything is?" Who knows who might? I don't know. But I know in the body, if we're relating to each other in healthy ways, we come to know what each other needs, and God expects us to care for each other. Church, who are you caring for? Whose life is better today because you care for them? Who is encouraged today because you care for them and they know you care for them? And then it says, as the church, we suffer together. When one suffers, we suffer together. Church, we can't suffer together if we're always vetting each other. You know they're a Republican. Well, then they have to be wicked. Oh, they're a Democrat. Well, they're going to hell for sure. Okay, people don't say that, but we treat each other that way. Don't tell me you don't. I see you do it. In fact, it's kind of like this. Oh, you're probably suffering because you didn't vote for the person I voted for. This is probably God. Church, we can't be that way. Do you get it? Somebody can love Jesus Christ just as much as you and have very different political opinions. And I can't be secretly happy because they're having some hard time because they happen to disagree with me about politics. That's not the church. Can I tell you one more time? That is not the church. In the church, we care for each other, not based on do you agree with me on ever-changing things like politics. In the church, we say we are in the body together and we care for each other because that's the way Christ said the body works. Church. And then it says, when one is honored, we're all honored together. Some people have with some people, it's easy for them to sympathize with people who are going through hard times. But they're just the opposite. They can't celebrate with people who are having good times. You know there are people who are honestly miserable when you're happy? You know they're out there? No, you don't? Well, they are. Some of them call themselves your friend. And they are secretly unhappy when you're doing well. I I had more friends as a pastor when this church was small than I do when it's large. People are secretly unhappy when good things happen. Church? It can't be the church. When somebody that you know in the church is thriving, rejoice in the Lord with them. Enjoy what God's blessing them with. Do you hear it? Somebody drives a new F-150 out on the parking lot, I'm saying, praise God. What a blessing in their life. Church? Somebody's kids win an award, bless them. That's what the church is supposed to be. We empathize with people in their sorrows, but we celebrate with people in their success. We are one body. We are meant to be a blessing to each other. All right, let me wrap this up. God has an idea of how he wants to influence the world. He invented it himself. It's called the church. He said, the church is an odd concept, but I can give you a perfect illustration. The church is like a body. The church is the body of Christ. And what Christ would be doing in the world if he were here, that's what we should be doing. The way Christ would be caring for people, that's the way we should care for them. The way Christ would be looking out for people, that's the way we should look out for them. The way that Christ would be discipling people, that's the way we should be discipling them. We are the body of Christ, and we should be doing what Christ wants done in the world. And we should be treating each other the way Christ wants people to be treated. The only way the world is going to feel the love of Christ is to feel the love of the church. The only way the church is going to feel, the world is going to feel the care of Christ is for the church, for the world to feel the care of the church. The only way the world is going to sense the forgiveness of Christ is to sense the forgiveness of the church. What Christ is going to do in the world, he's going to do through us. And if the church doesn't do it, it isn't going to get done. Let's be the church. Our dear Heavenly Father, oh, how desperately I long for our church to be the body of Christ. How desperately I long for us to get it right. For everyone to have a sense of their importance and value. For everyone to have a caring and sharing spirit. For this to be a place where people can come and they can feel the love of Christ. They can feel the forgiveness of Christ. They can feel the care of Christ. They can feel connected to Christ. And so I pray for myself. I pray for everyone who's seated here this morning. I pray for our online church. I pray that your spirit would whisper to us and we would feel a new longing to be connected to the church in a healthy way. We'd feel a new ambition to be serving people the way Christ wants them to be served, to be caring for people the way Christ wants them to be cared for. And I pray that this church would be a bright and shining light in a broken world. In Christ's name, amen.